Good morning. Amen. I told them earlier I had two cups of coffee before nine, so I was charged. I've had another cup of coffee, so I'm charged, and then I have ADHD anyway. So there's no telling what I might do this morning. But I'm excited to be here, excited to be with you. I praise God for Pastor Cal and the Northwoods Community Church family and all that God is using you to do for the sake of the kingdom. I praise God for your obedience, for your desire to partner with God in this time to make a difference in the lives of people. I am so glad that I am a part of God's team. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the Big C, the Universal Church. And it is a privilege to be with you today, many of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. So thank you for being a part of God's program and partnering with us and partnering with other believers throughout the city and throughout the country for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. You can clap. You can clap. Well, as I said, I'm hyped. I'm off the charts. I'm ready to roll. I feel like I could just fly away. So to calm me down, can you bow in a word of prayer with me? Let's bow together. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity to stand for you. We trust today as we open your word that you will open your mouth and speak into the lives of people. You know what we need. You know what we need to hear, and you know how we need to hear it, so you speak. As I open my mouth, I trust that you will fill it with your word so that they would hear your voice and not my voice. God, we pray today for lives to be changed. So touch our ears that we might hear, touch our hearts that they might be receptive. Change us so that we might be more like the Christ. Let the words now of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, I pray they would be acceptable in your sight. Thank you for being my strength. I praise you that you are my redeemer. We surrender this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My prayer for the church is simply, Lord, help us to follow. Help us to follow. This whole issue of following Jesus has been something that has been consuming me as of late, consuming my life as of late. Lord, help us to follow. Lord, I really want to follow Jesus. And as you think about just the term follow is a countercultural term. For if you were to go home today and just do a search on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble and do a search for book titles with follow in it or follower in it, and then do a comparative search of book titles with leader or leadership, and just look at the difference in the numbers. What's interesting is that many of the books that are written about follower or being a follower or following are going to tell you how to get other people to follow you. They will not be about us actually following. And yet, I've been introduced to this social networking tool called Twitter. How many of you have heard of Twitter? Cool. Did you tweet this morning? Well, I tweeted this morning, and Twitter is a social networking tool that allows a person to sign up and register and then communicate in 140 characters or less what they're doing or what they're thinking, things that they want to say. And then there are other people who, for whatever reason, decide that what you have to say and what you're doing is important enough for them to click a follow button to say they want to follow you. Twitter, get it. They give the idea of following. And I was thinking about, man, you know, there are a lot of people who click the button to say, I want to follow this person. And when you click the button to say you want to follow a person, then it allows you to receive the updates. So I posted this morning as I was on my way here for the first service. Man, on my way to Northwoods, excited. Pastor Cal is at St. Paul throwing it down, you know, and I'm excited about what God is doing, right? And I just posted it. And then whoever clicked to say they want to be a follower of me, they read the update. With Twitter, you have the opportunity to connect with the person, to not only read the update, but then to give feedback, to give a response, to say, here's what I think about what you posted. So there's opportunity to build relationship. But it's all based on the follower. The more I thought about Twitter, I thought, man, God, my prayer is help us to follow, because maybe in the church we have a Twitter mindset when it comes to following Jesus. Maybe in the church we just think, I clicked a button, so I'm a follower. I don't have to look at the updates. I don't have to know what Jesus has to say or even why he says what he says. I don't need to connect with him. I don't need to interact with him. I clicked a button one day, so I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Is that what it means to be a follower? To just click a button, to just walk down an aisle and give a preacher a hand, to just fill out a card and turn it in? Is that what it means to be a follower? And I was troubled, because I'm like, wow, God, I don't think that's what you recorded in Scripture as following. So I started looking at the Scriptures and looking at this word follow. And as I was reading the Scriptures and seeing that Jesus talks about following over and over in the Gospels, and then looking in the Old Testament to see what God has to say about his people following, and looking at the idea of following, it's interesting that in the Old Testament, the idea or concept of following is related to following God. Being in relationship with God, so much so that you follow his lead. So the children of Israel, when they were led by the cloud and the pillar of fire, the Scripture says they were following God. When he would stop, they would stop. When he would move, they would move. That whole following concept. But then in the Scripture, the word for following is also used to describe the children of Israel who follow after other gods. So in Hosea, it's used to describe the children of Israel who commit adultery because they are pursuing, they have their attention on other gods. Following, to be in relationship with, to connect with, to go after because of the relationship. So when Jesus talks about it in the New Testament, when he talks about following him, he's talking about commit to me in a relationship so much so that you come after me, that you follow me. So as I thought about it more and more, and I looked at it over and over again, because I really am a simple person, I had to try to understand it in simple terms. So I looked, and in the Gospels over and over, you see this, follow me, follow me. Can you say that with me? Follow me. Right? So simple. Doesn't this sound simple? Follow me. But then I looked, I said, wow, follow. That's a verb. Right? So since it's a verb, that means follow is all about action. It's all about movement. It's a verb. You can't follow and be inactive. To follow means to have activity, to have action. He says, follow me. So if I'm going to follow, I can't be inactive and still be a follower. I have to be active. Follow me. Me is a pronoun. So Jesus says, again and again, follow me. Don't follow a place. Though the place, a church, a building, may be a point of connection, don't get so wrapped up in the place that you think it's about following a place, because I've called you to follow me. Don't follow things, don't follow principles, don't follow disciplines, don't follow habits, don't get locked up into that, because if you follow those things, you could still miss me. I called you to follow me, the person, Jesus Christ. And I thought, wow, God, maybe we've been so messed up because we've been following things and we've been following places. And many of us even follow the Scriptures without following him. So in John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus is having a discussion with the religious leaders. And while having a discussion with the religious leaders, he says to them, you study the Scriptures because you think in them you find life. He says, but you find life in me. The Scriptures are all about me. So if you study the Scriptures but don't get me, you can't get the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures point to me, the living Word. So I wrestled with it and I said, wow, God, follow action in relationship to your person. And then I started thinking, as I look at my life, is the majority of my activity related to the person of Jesus Christ? is the majority of my movement, as I look at my calendar, is the majority of my movement and my plans on my calendar, what's the relationship between my activity and the person of Jesus Christ, the living Word, God in the flesh, God who came to show himself to us? Is my action, my activity related to his person, or is it related to something else? So I'm thinking about it, it's like, wow, God, forgive me, because I have a lot of activity in my life, and Jesus is nowhere related to it. I mean, he's not even in the picture. You can't put him in. He's not there. But he says, follow me. I thought about that, and I'm like, wow, follow. Action related to his person. But if I'm following his person, then in order for me to follow his person, I have to always follow. Simple, right? Because I can't follow his person and be ahead of his person, because then I'm leading him. And I don't know about you, but I'm often guilty of running off from Jesus. Getting way ahead, going ahead, and saying, come on, Jesus, come on, Jesus, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus, come on, Jesus. And when you get here, I've already figured out what I want you to do. Right? But in order for me to follow, I have to follow. Here's my challenge. I love being in control. Right? So in order for me to follow, I can't go ahead. I have to actually wait. Be in relationship with him to know what he's doing and move when he moves. Because when Jesus talks to the disciples about following him, he invites them to be with him. Jesus says, the most important thing you can do is to be with me, to be in relationship with me, to pay attention to me. Follow me. So as I looked at the scriptures, I was intrigued by one story in Mark, chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. I just want to read that to you. It says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to catch people or make you become fishers of men. And verse 18 says, at once they left their nets and followed him. See, the more I'm looking at over and over in scripture, Jesus talking about following me and Jesus challenging people to follow him. And then I lock into the story. I'm like, wow, God, help us to follow. Help us to follow. But the question is, why is it so important to follow Jesus? I mean, why is it important for us to follow you, Jesus? What's the big deal? And as I read the scripture, it seems as though he made it clear for me, because he's walking along the sea and he sees these two brothers and they're fishing and Jesus says to them, come follow me. But the scripture says they were fishermen. If you ask anybody around the area about the men, they would say they were fishermen. If you inquired about them, if you inquired about their identity, the people would say they were fishermen. Can I ask this morning, if people inquire about you and your identity, who would they say you are? Who would they say you are? How would they describe your identity? And see, that's the challenge. The scripture says they were fishermen. But Jesus invites them to follow him. Lord, help us to follow, because when we follow, you clarify our identity. Their identity in the community was that they were fishermen. That's their identity because that was their function. That's what they did. And often in society, people have identity based on their function or their activity or what they do. So much so that without being able to do what they do, they don't know who they are. And I wonder how many of us in here on this morning, we've been struggling with the sense of who we are because who we are is wrapped up in what we do. And we don't know when we're not doing what we do, who we really are. And what happens when you can't do what you do? Who are you? Jesus says, come follow me. You are so much more than what you do. You are so much more than where you work. You are so much more than what you drive. You are so much more than where you live. Let me give you clarity on your identity. Come follow me. Well, if I follow you, Jesus, who am I then? A follower? I know. When I said it at my church, they didn't shout either. It's like, a follower, that's so unimpressive. Who am I? A follower. See, the invitation is to come follow Jesus. And in following Jesus, that becomes my identity. Who am I? I am a follower. I'm a follower. That's who I am. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a social worker. That's just what I do right now. But I'm a follower. I'm more than a husband. I'm more than a parent. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. That's my identity. Oh, thank you, God. And because that is my identity, then I follow Jesus as a husband. I follow Jesus as a parent. I follow Jesus as a doctor or a lawyer or a social worker or a person who picks up the garbage. I follow Jesus in that particular role. But my role is not who I am. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I said, wow, God, thank you. Because so many of us have been struggling with identity issues. Because we've allowed what we do to shape our sense of who we are. But when we commit to be followers, that's your identity. Lord, help us to follow. Because when we follow, you clarify our identity. We are followers of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says to the men, he says, come follow me. And I will make you to become fishers of men. All right, Jesus. That sounds good. But in case you didn't notice, we already have a day job. Scripture says they were casting their nets. We already have something to do. We already have plans. We already have an agenda. We already have our lives mapped out, Jesus. You mean you want to come and issue an invitation that interrupts our lives? You want to come and issue an invitation that causes us to put in question the agenda that we've been working on so diligently? Jesus, come on now. I spent my whole life dreaming this thing up. Spent my whole life working on this plan. And now you want to come and invite me to be a follower and tell me I will no longer catch fish, but now I will catch people? And what does that pay? I'm sorry, that tickled me. Right, so Jesus invites them to be fishers of men. Jesus basically says, I want to give you a new assignment. Lord, help us to follow. Because when we follow you, we get clarity on our assignment. So many of us think that what we've been doing is what life is all about. But when I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, what I've been doing is really not the bottom line. See, as a follower, the bottom line changes for me. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you know the bottom line for me? The bottom line for me is helping others to meet the one I follow. That's the bottom line. So as a follower of Jesus Christ, yes, I have to have a job because they're still going to send their bills and I still have to pay for where I live and all of that. I need a job. I need income. I need all of that. But I understand that's not really the bottom line. The bottom line is for me to help others meet the Master, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who invites me to be with Him. So now, as a follower, I look at what I do differently. So when I go to work, yes, I want to be the best on my job. Yes, I want to operate at a certain level and make sure I meet a certain standard because I know I need to do all things for the glory of God, and I want to bring God glory at whatever I do. But that's not the bottom line. The bottom line is so that people might see Jesus in me and be drawn to Him. Wow, new assignment. You mean I've been complaining on my job and complaining about my coworkers and talking about how evil and mean they are and talking about my boss and all of this, and I've been getting wrapped up in all of that stuff, and that's not the bottom line? Nope. The bottom line is me living in such a way so that people might meet the one I follow. So now I approach work differently. So I go to work, I'm saying, Lord, I want to follow you today when I go to work. And when I go to work, I want you to speak to me. I want to be open. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me, because I realize that it's not about what I do, but it's about making sure that whatever I do, I'm open to living so that people can see you in me. So that in whatever I do, my goal is to connect people to Jesus. Work changes then. You mean I get the privilege of getting a check to go represent Jesus? Yes! Isn't it beautiful? Someone's willing to pay you to be a missionary for Jesus. Amen. You get to go to work every day looking around saying, wow, God, work in me, move in me, guide me, lead me, direct me so that people might see you in me and be drawn to Him. Work is different then when I understand my assignment. Lord, help us to follow, because when we follow and we get clarity on our assignment, people in our circle of influence begin to change. Because you are present in us. Environments begin to change because you are present in us. Where there was turmoil, now because we walk and live with the Prince of Peace, we bring peace to that place. It changes because you are at work in us. Lord, help us to follow. Because when we follow, you give us clarity on our assignment. And when we have clarity on our assignment, every day is an opportunity for you to do something marvelous and miraculous in the life of somebody else. But let me just honestly confess, when we commit to following, it's a challenge. I have to just tell you, sometimes I'm bothered by following Jesus. I am. You may not say that, but I am. He interrupts my day. You know, I have stuff that I want to do, that I have planned to do, and he interrupts my day. He reminds me that I'm a follower. And he gently nudges me, taps me on my shoulder, and he wants to tell me to do stuff for him. I go, Jesus, can't you see my list? I already have enough things to do, Jesus. I can't add that. So sometimes my wife sends me to Walmart. It's her favorite place, not my favorite place. And when I go to Walmart, you know, I got to get this done so my wife will be happy because I love her, right? So I go to Walmart and I have my iPod and I have my earphones and I have my list. I got my iPod on, my earphones on my ear, which suggests I do not want to interact. I've come to accomplish my goal of getting the groceries that are on the list. But then Jesus reminds me I'm a follower. So even a trip to Walmart is not just a trip to Walmart. Because when I go to Walmart, he wants me to be open and alert to when he wants to prompt me to speak. And when he wants to prompt me to listen. And when he wants to prompt me to pray. When he wants to prompt me to show kindness to people. I'm like, come on, Jesus. I just want to get back home and do what I decided to do for the rest of the day. And he reminds me, but you're a follower. Your life is not your life. That's why Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live. But the life that I now live in the flesh, it's not mine. I owe it to the one who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2 and 20. It's like, oh man, there you go again, bringing that up. All right, I'll follow. And I follow sometimes reluctantly to carry out the assignment. And I'm embarrassed sometimes when I follow reluctantly and God does something miraculous. And I'm just like, wow, I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm a follower. That's who I am. Nothing else is more important. Lord, help us to follow. Because when we follow, you give us the opportunity to participate in an eternal work. I don't know what you do for a living. I don't know who pays you and all of that. But I would imagine that most of us in this room don't currently participate in anything that's eternal other than what God has called us to. I don't care if you build buildings, sooner or later, they will either fall down or be torn down. If you teach, sooner or later, the people you teach will die. Most of us don't participate in anything that has eternal significance. And Jesus invites them to participate in something that's greater than them and to participate in something that has eternal significance. Lord, help us to follow, because when we follow, you give us the privilege of participating in something that has eternal significance. So that in all of eternity, as we're bowing before the throne and worshiping, there will be people who will never have seen us, but who can potentially be present before his throne because of seeds we planted in the lives of others. It's like, wow, God, what an awesome opportunity to participate in your eternal plan. So as I process that, and following Jesus continues to consume me, I'm being challenged personally. I'm struggling. I'm struggling because I had my idea of life and how it should be and how it should end up. Had my idea of what's important and what's not important. And as I'm looking at the life of Jesus and I'm reading over the Gospels again and again, and I'm studying his every move and his every interaction, and I'm trying really hard just to follow, just to imitate, just to do the kind of stuff that I see him doing. I'm reminded that oftentimes when I follow, I come face to face with real pain. Because I encounter people who are dealing with real sickness that they've had for periods at a time, and they're in real pain and they've lost hope. When I follow, I encounter people who are dealing with demonic oppression or demonic possession. I encounter people who are blind spiritually, who have been wounded, who are hungry, who are troubled. See, following Jesus is sometimes painful. I'm reminded that when I follow Jesus, I will be persecuted. I'm reminded that when I follow Jesus, they will hate me because they hated him. And I like being liked. But when I follow him, I'm reminded that I will suffer. Because all who strive to live godly will suffer. And sometimes I'm taken back because I'm like, no, I don't want to suffer. He says, that's what it means to follow. But I am so consumed by his life, so consumed by him and his love, that I've resolved at 38, soon will be 39, since my life is almost over. You know what I'm saying? I might as well just lay it on the line for Jesus. I mean, I'm at the halfway point. If I live to be 80, I'm at the halfway point. And I've decided I don't have time for foolishness. I don't have time to pursue things that are like the wind that I can never catch. I want to be radical like Jesus. I want to be a revolutionary like Jesus. I want to so represent Jesus that the religious look at me and say, oh, we hate him. And they begin to plot to say, how can we destroy him? Because that's what they did to Jesus. I want to warn you, even though it's my prayer that we would follow, it's painful. And there is a cost. There is a price. But that's what it means to follow Jesus. He says, if you're going to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And the scripture says, these men left everything and followed. I don't know what you're going to do today. I don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. I don't know what choice you'll make. But the scripture says, they left everything to make following Jesus their number one priority. So as I thought about following, I was blessed to come across writing a Magna Carta of trust by an out-of-control disciple. And I want to read that in my conclusion and then offer a word of prayer. It says, I am a part of the church of the out of control. I once was a control junkie, but now am an out of control disciple. I've given up my control to God. I trust and obey the Spirit. I've jumped off the fence. I've stepped over the line. I've pulled out all the stops. I'm holding nothing back. There's no turning back, looking around, slowing down, backing away, letting up or shutting up. It's life against the odds, outside the box, over the wall, the game of life played without goal lines other than thy will be done. I'm done lapdogging for the top dogs, the wonder dogs, the overdogs, or even the underdogs. I'm done playing according to the rules, whether it's Robert's rules of order or Miss Manners' rules of etiquette or Martha Stewart's rules of living or Louis Farrakhan's rules of America's least wanted or Merrill Lynch's money-minding, bottom-lining, ladder-climbing rules of America's most wanted. I am not here to please the dominant culture or to serve any all-show-no-go bureaucracies. I live to please my Lord and Savior. My spiritual taste buds have graduated from fears and froth to fire and ice. Sometimes I'm called to sharpen the cutting edge and sometimes to blunt the cutting edge. Don't give me that old time religion. Don't give me that new time religion. Give me that all time religion that's as hard as a rock and soft as snow. I've stopped trying to make life work and started trying to make life sing. I'm finished with secondhand sensations, third rate dreams, low risk, high rise trades, and goose stepping, flag waving crusades. I no longer live by and for anything but everything God-breathed, Christ-centered, and Spirit-driven. I can't be bought by any personalities or perks, positions or prizes. I won't give up, though I will give in, to openness of mind, humbleness of heart, and generosity of spirit. When short-handed and hard-pressed, I will never again hang in there. I will stand in there. I will run in there. I will pray in there. I will sacrifice in there. I will endure in there. In fact, I will do everything in there but hang. My face is upward, my feet are forward, my eyes are focused, my way is cloudy, my knees are worn, my seat uncreased, my heart burdened, my spirit light, my road narrow, my mission wide. I won't be seduced by popularity, traduced by criticism, travestized by hypocrisy, or trivialized by mediocrity. I am organized religion's best friend and worst nightmare. I won't back down, slow down, shut down, or let down until I'm preached out, teached out, healed out, or hauled out of God's mission in the world, entrusted to members of the church of the out of control to unbind the confined, whether they're the downtrodden or the upscale, the overlooked or the underrepresented. My fundamental identity is as a disciple of Jesus, but even more as a disciple of Jesus who lives in Christ, who doesn't walk through history simply in his steps, but seeks to travel more deeply in his spirit until he comes again or calls me home. You can find me filling, not killing time, so that one day he will pick me out in the lineup of the ages as one of his own. And then it will be worth it all to hear these words, the most precious words I can ever hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's bow together. Thank you. God, my prayer is that you would help us to follow. To follow the radical, revolutionary Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. The one who revealed your glory full of grace and truth. Help us to follow the one who loved us so much that he would endure suffering, be beaten, bruised, would take nails for us, die on an old rugged cross. Though he had no sin, he was willing to die for our sin. Help us to follow the one who died but refused to stay dead. The one who told grave, you can't hold me, and death, you can't keep me. The one who rose early Sunday morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. The one who reigns victoriously, who lives forevermore. Help us to follow. Help us to be willing to give up our comfort, to sacrifice our agenda, to lay aside our plan. To be followers. To say, Lord, you know my struggles, you know my heartache, you know my pain, you know my faults, you know my failures, you know my reservations, you know my unwillingness at times to be vulnerable, and yet help us to follow. Knowing that only as we follow can we discover life and life more abundantly. Help us to follow, knowing that only as we follow can we discover the true meaning of life. Help us to follow him, Jesus the Christ. And in following, to be able to influence so many others who just need to know him, the one who satisfies our souls. The one who gives peace in the midst of a storm. The one who can give joy in the midst of our sorrow. Help us to follow. It's my prayer.